One of the things I want to remind you of tomorrow is very special to us. It's Memorial Day. And never as a church do I want us to forget the value of it. Because it shows those who died for us in our nation's service and blood was spilled in order for us to be able to enjoy our religious freedoms like we have now. It traces its root back to 1868 when General John Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic declared May 30th as a day of remembrance. And what they would do, they would place flowers on the graves of the Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. I don't know if you've been there. You can see the tombs and, I mean, the graves. And so it's a wonderful sight. The day was originally called Decoration Day. And it was sometimes called Poppy Day because of the artificial red poppies that disabled veterans would sell in order to bless and benefit servicemen that have been in the Army or Armed Forces and so that were in need. And so that's why it was called Poppy Day, because they make those flowers just for that. In December of 2000, Congress passed a resolution which asked all Americans to voluntarily and informally observe a moment of remembrance and respect. Tomorrow is the official Memorial Day holiday. When you celebrate it, remember, it's more than just a three-day weekend. It's more than cookouts. Blood was shed so that we could enjoy our religious freedoms here in our country. Okay? Now, for those who have lost someone in war or military action, it means a lot because you remember your family who sacrificed to be able to give us these freedoms. So my heart goes out to you and lament with you, but remember, it was not in vain. The reason we can have service today is because of those men who valiantly fought for our rights. And so, when you have Memorial Day, take that into account as you celebrate it. And I want you to enjoy it, right? Because it is a blessing. See, in fact, every American ought to recognize this day in honor for those who have lost their lives and spilled their blood to make America great. And there is no other country like ours, right? It's a nation worth fighting for. And so thank you for everyone who has gone through sorrow, through pain, in order to ensure we still can do what we do and have our freedoms. Okay, so I want us to look at that because, see, these were soldiers of honor who fought and gave their life completely to the Lord. And today I want you to take into account we're soldiers as well. But now we're soldiers in God's army. And we must be good soldiers of honor as well. See, many times we forget in our Christian walk that we're in spiritual battle every day. You notice how the world is getting worse and worse, and we have to be ready as soldiers of Christ to be able to defend what we believe in as well. Okay, so I'm going to give you some qualifications in being that soldier of honor for Christ. And I want you guys to look at the scriptures we're about to study and meditate on those things throughout Memorial Day, just to see where I'm at with Christ. Am I a good soldier? Am I where I'm supposed to be right now with Christ? Or am I a bad soldier, not ready for war? And when Satan comes to hit my home, I will be caught off guard. See, if we're good soldiers, we're ready for battle, day in and day out, all for the glory of Christ. Okay, so I've titled today's sermon, The Qualifications of a Soldier of Honor. And I want us to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll be in two verses today. Verses 3 and 4. Let's go there real quick. Chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 of 2 Timothy. Okay, let's read the verses. Suffer hardship with me, Paul says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Suffer hardship with me, right? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, verse 4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Okay, point number one. As a soldier of honor, soldiers of honor have a cross to carry. And that's my first point. They have a cross to carry. I want you to see and study the verse and what it stands for. But I also want you to understand, when we suffer for the cause of Christ, we never suffer alone because we always have Christ with us, okay? He is our commanding officer. We are his soldiers, foot soldiers here on earth to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? So, in the first portion of scripture this morning, Paul is telling us that the Christian soldier is at war Now, what is he at war against? Well, first thing is the world's antichrist system. It's evil. And so we're against that system. Then next, we have our sinful human nature we have to battle each and every day because the old man wants to pop up everywhere. And then lastly, we're in battle against Satan himself. And so one of the things I want you to do is never drop your guard as a Christian. Always keep your guard up. Always make sure you're a good soldier and that you're carrying your cross for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, okay? Have you ever thought about it that way? That you are having to pick up a cross. That means you're going to go through hardship as a Christian. That means you're going to suffer for the cause of Christ and the gospel. And one of the things is that cross is not light, so you'll need help. And guess who you run to for help? The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and I'm talking about suffering for the Lord, not suffering because we go through pain or affliction health-wise, but doing things for the glory of God for his kingdom. You and I will have to go through times of suffering. And that cross sometimes gets pretty heavy. And we have to keep pressing forward like good soldiers, okay? Let's go to Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26. Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, the cross was an instrument of torture. Remember that. And it was heavy. And he says, when you come into my kingdom, you're going to suffer. Because what I believe in, the world does not believe in. The world hated me first, they're going to hate you. And this is why he says, prepare for battle. But I want you to understand, you don't battle on your own. You have the Lord with you. And so, God is with us when we suffer, and never forget that. So he tells us to endure those times that are tragic, heavy, right? Heavy laden. And when we go through suffering, he says, trust me. Give your burdens to me, and I will lift up those burdens from you. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Notice what he says. When you encounter various trials, not if you. In other words, if you are a Christian, you will encounter various trials. They come from all directions, right? And they hit us hard. And one of the things he says, don't ever fret when you get those things. If I allow them into your life, I'm doing a work in you to mature you. It's like a test. He's forming your faith to be more trustworthy of the Lord. And he says, you will face trials, not an option for a Christian. And when you face those trials, you must face them as a good soldier, right? We're soldiers in God's army the moment we receive him as Lord and Savior. Then he says, okay, you're in my army now. Who are you fighting against? The things I told you, right? And so when we go through those things, we go through the attacks of the world against us, we go through Satan's attacks, and then our old human nature, one of the things that we have to do is react like a good soldier. Now, in order to know how to react as a good soldier, we have to know what a bad soldier is, correct? Let me show you what a bad soldier is. He is not prepared to serve or suffer. A bad soldier doesn't submit to authority. He doesn't know the chain of command. He is a rebel at heart. He complains, he murmurs all the time when he is given orders. His uniform is a mess. He's a bad soldier because he risked the lives of the people around him because he's not following those orders. So the people who are fighting alongside him get put in danger as well. Those are bad soldiers, okay? And one of the things, the word sacrifice is not in his vocabulary. Okay, so the soldier that is bad is sometimes also AWOL, absent without leave, right? He's not at his post, not where he's supposed to be. He's not where the commanding officer told him to be. And so when he's needed in battle, he's nowhere to be found. This is a bad soldier, okay? He doesn't stay where he's supposed to stay as he was given orders to stay. Okay, he's not sober. He's not vigilant. His weapons are not clean and ready to use because he's not worried about the things that they've entrusted to him. That's a bad soldier. See, as Christians as well, we can be bad Christians. We can be bad soldiers as well. and not be where God wants us to be, not be involved in the battle, right? And so many times as Christians, we forget we can either be good representatives as soldiers or bad. But a bad soldier, right, in Christ is not prepared to suffer or to serve. A bad soldier for Christ doesn't submit to his authority. It's the same thing, right? He's a rebel at heart as well because he doesn't want to submit himself to the complete law of God. And so we can be bad soldiers in God's army, show up late, not do the things he requires us. We're not at the post where he put us. We're not praying for people. We're not reading our word. We're not where we're supposed to be. As long as God asks us to be close to him, we're nowhere near. We're not sober. We're not vigilant. And our weapon, right, the sword of the Spirit, the word, is not sharp. It's not ready to be used. Okay, so I want you to remind you of that. Now let's look at the good soldier. Okay, the good soldier is prepared. He obeys authority. He does not complain or murmur. His uniform is up to code. He will risk his life for others. The word sacrifice is in his vocabulary. He's never AWOL. He can always be found when needed, never missing an action, never MIA. He is where he's supposed to be. He remains sober. He remains vigilant. And Paul tells us, a good soldier will endure hardship. Why? Because he's prepared for it. See, many Christians today don't even have or fathom the idea that we're in battle. You and I are in battle for the souls of people. And God's army, this is it right here, should be telling people of the wondrous works that Christ has done in their lives. And we have to go into the battlefield, the world, and tell people about Jesus Christ and how important he is to us. If we're good soldiers, we're involved. We're getting our hands messy. And this is one of the things that God wants us to do as good soldiers, to endure hardship. Because the moment you start sharing the gospel more with people you work with, the people you go to school with, the people you're around and your sphere of influence, one of the things that the enemy will do, he'll get mad and he'll start hitting you hard. And Paul says here, endure hardship. Did Paul know about hardship? Chained to Roman soldiers, right? Having to do the work of God, and some of his most powerful letters were the ones he wrote from prison. So he's telling us, you know, if you're a good soldier, remember, you're in battle. Now, is it fun being a soldier in battle? No. Who likes to be in wartime? No one does. But good soldiers suffer and endure through that hardship for the good of their commanding officers and for their nation and for the people they fight along with side to side. That's us. We're in battle. And our commanding officer is Jesus Christ. We are his soldiers, right? His foot soldiers here on earth to bring forth the gospel. And we will fight and endure that hardship when we go into battle for the souls of men and women. All right? So, a soldier who's in war, remember, will go through difficult times, hard times. And the reason I'm so passionate about it, my dad was in World War II. One of my brothers was in Vietnam. Another one was in Grenada. Okay, and so all these things mean a lot to me. But they mean even more now that I'm in Christ. We have to fight for the kingdom of God too. This world is going to decay, but the kingdom of God is where we're going to live eventually. So good soldiers, remember that. We go and press forward no matter what happens. Soldiers in war and physical war here on earth often go without water, without food, without sleep, without medical treatment, without seeing their families, not to mention the unimaginable hardships that come with the weather. How many of you remember that? I remember my dad would tell me about stuff that he did in Normandy when he went through battle, how muddy it would get, how cold it would get. Things like that. All these hardships good soldiers go through. And one of the things that sacrifice is, it's major in the life of a good soldier. Have we suffered really for what we do for Christ? Not really. We get rejection here and there, but we're not placed in prison yet. That's coming down the road. But the issue more than anything is that we remember sacrifice is the principle, the major hardship for the soldier. We will suffer for the cause of Christ. Remember that the hardship of being a soldier is incomprehensible unless you've served yourself. See, I can talk to you about war, but I'm not a soldier. I've never been a soldier. I can just tell you things that they've told me, but the real persons who know what they go through are the true soldiers. Those are the guys that have said these things, okay? So when I stand before you this morning and I'm trying to paint the picture of the good soldier, it can never be really brought to life as a soldier who's been in that mud, been in that weather, been in that separation from his family and all the other things. But I can tell you one thing. I can tell you what it means to be in the army of God. I've been there. And one of the things that I understand, right, that I love the way the Lord recruited me. When the Lord recruited me, he wasn't like the recruiters of the world, right? They tell you, if you come in and sign in, man, you're going to see the world. You're going to have benefits. You're going to have all this stuff. And they paint the beautiful picture of it. The Lord never did that with us. When God recruited you and I to be in the armed forces of the kingdom of God, he told us like it was. You're going to suffer. You're going to have hard battles. See, because today there's a danger. Christianity today, evangelical Christianity today, paints a picture of when you come to Christ, ooh, it's going to be nice. No suffering. You're going to make more money than you ever had. God's a little genie and he'll give you what you ask him for. The Lord Jesus, when he recruited us, never did that. He told us, you will suffer persecution because of me. And because you love me, you go against this world system that's antichrist, and you are going to go through hell many times because of what you do for me. Okay, and so I want you to understand this. When we join his army, he said, hardships are to follow. How many of you believe that? Those of you that have become soldiers, I can tell you lots of stories as a pastor of people when they came to the Lord, they thought, man, it's going to be nice. But once they joined in the army wholeheartedly, all in, all of a sudden, Satan gave you more battles than you could handle. He hits you in your home. He hits you wherever he can because he wants to knock you out of the battle. And you cannot give up. You have to endure. And to endure means you go through hell for God. And that you do it lovingly because of what he did for you on the cross. This is what it means to be a good soldier. But the recruiters that I met, once I graduated from high school, man, they told me, we'll travel the world, you'll see this, you'll do that. And I remember the sales pitch they brought. But for someone who loves their country, they'll do it voluntarily. They don't need the hype. Just tell me the truth. And this is what Jesus did for us, right? So, one of the things, if you were to ask a soldier, especially young soldiers right out of high school, when they enrolled in the military, that your recruiter told you the story, the pitch, the sales pitch. If I were to ask you today, did he tell you all this was going to happen to you that really happened? No. Because they need to recruit people. That's like if you and I, right, if I tell you, who wants to join God's army, right? You're going to suffer. How would my line be next to that recruiter that's promising you vacations, seeing the world, benefits, all that? My line would be empty, wouldn't it? Who would say, man, let's suffer together? And my line would grow like crazy. None. That's why I appreciate the calling of Christ and how he did it. He said, look, when you come, you're going to suffer. Okay? And if you love me, I suffered for you on the cross, so you're going to do the same for other people as well. And that's what he did in our life when he called us into ministry. I know those soldiers, if you were to ask him, did they really tell you the truth? They'd say, nope, not even close. But our Lord has always told us the truth. He doesn't recruit the way of the army or the navy or the marines. He recruits his way for God's army. Okay? And so, I love that when we are in Christ, he will never pull punches. He will never tell you it's going to be easy. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Because those who serve God will be persecuted. Everything we do goes against this world and its system. Okay? Now, because evangelical Christianity has been taught for many years now, so many people today are facing some of the evil aspects that doctrine brings. And so Paul says, no, you're going to suffer. Don't believe those teachings that they give you that have to do with prosperity and good times, nothing to suffer. See, many times as Christians in God's army, we think that the only ones called into God's army also is just the clergy. Just the pastors are the ones that should suffer. We shouldn't suffer. The Bible says all good soldiers suffer for God. All of them. That means all of us are an army here. You ever think of it that way? The church is an army. And we are supposed to be good soldiers, not bad soldiers, right? We are to share in the pain of those less fortunate. We are to be in battle, right, with those who are hurt and hurting and wounded. That's our job as good soldiers. We are to suffer with those who suffer, right? And this is one of the things that a lot of people don't want to do. I just want to be told the great words of the message. I just want to feel good, and then I want to move on, Pastor. Why do you have to tell us we're in battle? Because we are. And evil is loose. And Paul told us, endure suffering. In other words, take your share of it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Are you suffering for the cause of Christ? Are you going out there and getting, you know, inconvenienced in your walk? And that's part of the battle that we have. We cannot be comfortable as Christians anymore. This is a battle that we have to always fight in Christ. The battle belongs to the Lord, but he needs his foot soldiers to implement the battle and to go forth in faith. Okay, so that's our first point. We all have a cross to carry as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Point number two, we must sever ourselves from the world. We must sever themselves from the world system. Okay, we have to break away from the world and its antichrist system. Look at verse 4. And look at the first part of verse 4 in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. In other words, the world system. Okay? And so, a good soldier must remain in active service. You're in battle. He realizes he is in active warfare. And see, that was particularly true in the Roman army. All the Roman soldiers who were not on their post, not ready, they would be killed because they would not be where they should be. There was a lot of discipline in the Roman army. What a commander would do, he would gather around himself people who really loved him. And they would serve their commanding general because they saw he led by example. And this is key. When you lead in God's army, you lead by example. Because people see that you're in love with God and that you're doing your best. Once people see that, they trust you as a leader, okay, that you won't fall apart when the hard times come. Part of being a good soldier is that you will not fall apart when the attack comes, but that you'll be ready, armed with the sword of the Spirit of God, to battle any way that God asks you to battle. Okay? And so, the men who are good soldiers for Rome, those are the ones that won the great battles for Rome, because they were willing to give their lives not only for their commanding officers, but for the soldiers that were alongside them as well. This is the way Christian service works. If we're in the army of God, we gladly give our life to Jesus because we know what he did for us. But we also give it for our brothers and sisters who are around us because we love them. Okay? Those who won those great battles, Paul said, look, it's the way Christians ought to live as well. If you're a good soldier, you're in battle, don't drop your guard. If you are in active battle, which you are, in active warfare, you cannot afford to drop your guard. You cannot afford not to read your Bible daily, pray daily, be talking to God daily. In other words, you have to be praying and fasting for all these battles that come in your life, and you get that word into your heart and engrave it in there. So when the times do get heavy, you won't be torn by the enemy, because see, the enemy's plan is to sideline you, to take you from being a good soldier and becoming a bad soldier where you get benched from serving God. Don't let him bench you, because when hard times come, there's a tendency for many Christians to fall away from God. There's a lot of tendencies to say, you know what, I give up. I surrender. And there's no surrender for the good soldier. The good soldier endures hardship, goes through everything that he goes through for the honor and glory of God. Okay, so don't drop your guard. Continue feeding yourself daily the way Scripture says, so that you don't live by just bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Okay, and so one of the objectives is not to get something for ourselves, but to give to God. See, there's a tendency in that Christian evangelical teaching that you just go to get, what can God give me? Kind of like a Santa Claus, right? What can I get from him? Instead of saying, Lord, how do you want to use my life in this battle so that I can honor you? And that is something where he takes you away from being self-centered and he makes you other-centered. What can I do to make this world a better place for your honor and glory? Maybe small things God uses. It may be great things God uses, but you're ready. You're disposable to be used. Your objective should be to honor him, to glorify him. See, we cannot be good Christians when we're all wrapped up in this world and the system. We have to break away from it because everything designed in this world is meant to take us away from God. And that's what Satan uses all the time. See, when we serve, we're not looking for glory. We're looking to glorify God. There's people who look for fame and riches in this world and end up empty anyway. It's not what it's cracked up to be. See, we don't join God's army to have pleasurable experiences all our life. We join God's army out of appreciation, and we remain single-mindedness. See, the problem today, many soldiers in Christ have one foot with the world and one foot with God. And those are not good soldiers. Those are the ones that when they're needed, you can't find them. Those are the ones that when the battle is raging, you can't depend on them. And this is one of the issues that is what God is trying to teach us today, is to remain single-minded, to be all in with God, not partial walks with God. Good soldiers are all in for Christ. Amen? And we are not double-minded. I know what the world has to offer. I was lost in it. I don't need to go back there. What I need to do is continue to serve God with my new freedom in Christ. As a good soldier, I'm going to do it. But I depend on him. The battle belongs to the Lord, not me. Okay? Let's go to James chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. We are not to be double-minded. You cannot be serving God and mammon. You cannot be serving the world and God. Okay? It says, but he must ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Being a double-minded man, he is unstable in all his ways. Isn't that true? The Christians who are weak, who are not walking with God under the power of the Holy Spirit, are the Christians who are all into the world or have the majority of the world in them. That's why they don't do anything great for the kingdom of God. If you want to do great things for the kingdom of God, you must remain single-minded. In other words, not have the world's philosophies in you, but you sever yourself from the world and you become that effective soldier. And our goal is to honor the Lord, the one who enlisted us, right? There's a type of Christianity today that's called monopoly Christianity. And monopoly Christianity is coming to God, and of course you buy Boardwalk, Park Place, you get wealthy. And that's not true Christianity. If God blesses you with wealth, you use it for his glory, right? Your perspective changes, your priorities change. But there's a lot of people that only come to Christ to see what he can give them, instead of offering their lives in servanthood for the Lord. Okay, so one of the things is many people think, oh, if I just had riches, I'd be happy. You think that's true? How many people that have riches end up taking their lives? They get depressed. Many of them lose it, and they had riches at one time, then they get sad. But the majority of people don't realize that riches bring you temporary happiness. But only God can give true joy, even when you're broke. See, as a soldier, many times in the war, you're going to find yourself broke. And you're going to find yourself tattered by the enemy and beaten up. And you have to pick yourself up and say, Lord, I'm going to press forward no matter what. Even if Satan tries to take me out, destroy my home, my family, I will never lose faith in you because of who you are. And it's important to understand this principle. Cadillacs, homes, materialism will not fill your life. Maybe temporarily. But at the end, when it comes to meeting your maker, you're going to find out those things will not give you any leverage before a holy God who loves you. Okay, so as a soldier, remember, God's blessings come in the midst of hardship as well. You'll be able to see the hand of God when you're suffering. And he lifts up these burdens supernaturally and you go, wow, that is so awesome that God has taken care of me. That even though I'm going through hardship, I don't feel defeated. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is within me, encouraging me and helping me press forward. See, when people measure God's blessings because of what you have, I know there's a lot of prosperity teaching churches that are packed to the hilt. But many of those Christians are led astray. I would rather be a good soldier in God's army with very little than to have a lot and my heart not be surrendered to Him fully. Good soldiers don't measure materialism. Good soldiers measure their presence of their commanding officers and their soldiers next to them, and they say, you know what, we're together. And this is one of the things I want to remind you. In that active spiritual battle, Satan will always try to divide us one way or another. As a body, as believers, he'll hit with gossip, murmuring, different things, and then he'll start doing his damage to get us apart. Good soldiers stick together in the battle, and they don't leave anyone left behind. They always bring their brother and sister with them. That's the true love of God. Oh, you can say, I love you to many people, right? Oh, I care for you. But when the battle gets rough, you'll see who's really a good soldier and a bad one. A bad soldier will leave people behind. You know what? It's me, number one, myself, and I'm only taking care of me. But in true battle, we leave no one behind. This is another thing that we do as faithful soldiers. Now, the Bible warns us with these prosperity doctrines that these churches are going to be more popular as time unveils. There are going to be more people wanting to go to church to tickle their ears, tell me what's good, and how much I'm going to get. But very few of those people will become good soldiers in God's army. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. In the last days, people will not endure sound doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. That's what they're looking for. And will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. One of the things that you'll see, it says, but you be sober-minded in all things. Endure hardship again, right? Because you will go through it. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. One of the reasons we're good soldiers in God's army is to tell them about Jesus Christ. There's a hurting world out there that needs the truth of Jesus Christ. We're the vessels God wants to use for that. If we remain silent and not share that ministry that He's given us as evangelists, we won't fulfill our ministry here on earth. See, we're too busy having churches today that are watering down God's holy word, and they're deceiving people. Telling them they're not going to suffer, that it's all about me, myself, and I, and what you get from it. And this is because people only follow after their own desires. See, as Christians, when we become involved in God's army, as His soldiers, it's no longer my will be done, it's God's will be done. Whatever He sends me to do, however hard it may be, I trust Him to get me through it. I endure the hardship that comes with it. See, this kind of teaching where they think and they teach that only prosperity is with you when you come to God, they don't leave room for the Holy Spirit to work in you, to mature you. All these trials mature us as Christians. And we see God's hand of favor more and more clearly in the battle. And we understand He's the one who holds us together like He holds the world together. And so today, don't forget, the days that we live in are full of evil. And there are so many obstacles that want to tear us away from the Lord. You know something is wrong in the world when people turn away from good teachers and go to false teachers. They tickle their ears, their itching ears, and they want to hear only what they want to hear from God, not what He says to do in these last days. See, the problem with many people today is that they would rather be on cruise ships than destroyers, right? They think they're on vacation. No, we're in battle. Think about your family, right? Just think about the people in your family. How many are saved and how many are not? That right there is your mission field. That is right there where you should be concentrating. How can I lead my aunts, my uncles, my nephews, my nieces to the Lord? Time is so short. And that is your main mission field. Hit the family that's around you. See, don't get so consumed with the things of the world that you forget about the simple things. Let's get our family into the kingdom. Let's tell them about who Christ is. so that none would perish. They'll all be with us in the day we come before the Lord. Remember, when we suffer hardship, it's by design. Because God said, look, I'm not of this world, and neither are you anymore, because I've recruited you into my army. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Those who live godly, guess what? Are going to get hit, and they're going to get hit hard. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. In other words, not living right, godly in our own strength or with a religious spirit, but in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are desiring to live godly the right way for the honor and glory of God, then He's with you. But He says, you will be persecuted, and I will be there with you, and I will not abandon you. See, we must break away from the world. And the more we do that, the more we're going to be able to serve God more effectively. What is holding back a lot of Christians from doing more things for God? Well, there's a lot of idols in the world. Things like sports, TV, right? The internet, jobs, possessions, money, music, dating, games, entertainment, education, hobbies have become a lot of idols for people. Those things take more time. And because they're engaged in the world system, they don't do anything for God's kingdom or hardly anything. And this is where we have to be careful. These are things that the world uses to distract us. Understand that. The world's job is to distract us from knowing that we are in active service for the Lord. And Satan will hit us with everything. He'll hit us with physical ailing. He'll hit us with medical reports. He'll hit us with anything he can to make us think that we're benched. Satan wants to bench you from Christian service. Don't let him. You're an active soldier. And if you're an active soldier, you can play different parts in different places. Oh, you tell me, well, Pastor, I can hardly walk. I can hardly do things. Yeah, you can become a prayer warrior. You can do many things for the kingdom of God. It doesn't take much to be an active soldier in Christ. As a matter of fact, some of the elderly that I know are the most powerful Christian prayer warriors that I've met. You're never out of commission. And if you're younger, then we have no excuses. If we are good soldiers, we are suited up and ready to go when God calls us. Okay, so the only objective as a Christian soldier you should have is to follow the Lord, honor Him, tear yourself away from the world so you can concentrate on serving in His eternal kingdom. Okay? So, I want to remind you today, Christian, are you ready to sever yourself from the world, to separate yourself from the world? If you're going to be a good soldier, you have to do it. Then you will see what I'm talking about. Okay, so the qualifications of a soldier of honor. They have to carry their cross. They must sever themselves from the world system. And then lastly, they must please their commanding officer. Look at the second part of verse 4 in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. It says, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Who enlisted you? With his blood, the Lord Jesus, when you came to faith in him, right? Who is Jesus known as? The Lord of hosts, the God of the armies, right? And one of the things is, your service now for God should not be out of duty. It should be based on the love that he displayed on the cross for you. How many of you understand how much he loved us? And he stood in our place to pay the sin debt that we incurred. See, spiritual battle now comes because of what he did for us. And one of the things, he pulled us out of the world for a purpose, to be good soldiers and bring honor to him. But I no longer serve him because I have to. I serve him out of love for what he did for me, to deliver me. What a difference it is, right, when Christ saves us. I was in the world, that system had nothing good for me. And yet, I was in it deep. But the moment that I recognized who he was, I was like Paul, I know whom I have believed in. And I surrender my life fully to him. When you understand that, right? One of the things that Christ will do for good soldiers, soldiers of honor, he demands unquestioned loyalty. Remember, he wants all of you, not parts of you. And he demands obedience from his soldiers. He is the commanding general. I submit to him. You get me? I'm not serving anymore for my life anymore. My life doesn't belong to me. One of the things he told me in 1 Corinthians, he bought it with his blood, and now it's his. So now, knowing the manual, right, for battle, knowing the book, the Bible, I submit my life fully to him. No longer am I with one foot in the world and one foot with God. I'm all in. And so, because he questions that loyalty, I have to remember, I need to give him that loyalty. The same way he loves me, I should love him. And I am in battle for him until he comes back for me. Loyalty goes a long way with the Lord. And when his soldiers, good soldiers, honor him with that loyalty, he blesses us, doesn't he? We would not do the things we do for God if we didn't value the cross and how valuable it is for us. Speaking of Memorial Days, on the morning of June 6, 1944, two U.S. infantry divisions, the 1st and the 29th, landed at Omaha Beach in Normandy, France, the second to the west of the five landing beaches on D-Day. The fighting was so ugly in the morning, it was the bloodiest fight ever, because these soldiers had to go upstream in order to climb cliffs to gain possessions where the Germans were, right? And so the issue was, a lot of them were getting shot right away when they landed off the boats. My dad was in that. And one of the things is, he saw people flying and dying quickly on his left and his right. He says, we had to keep going, charging the mountain, you know, the little mount there. And so he said, a lot of guys lost their lives there. That was just the hard part, getting off the boat. Then he says, we had to climb up. And there was rapid machine gun fire falling from the top down. What happened is, the men who were climbing were doing that knowing that they might be climbing to their death. And one of the things that, in recent studies that I've learned about the war, they questioned these survivors. And they said, why were you doing what you were doing? Well, first of all, love for God. Number two, love for country. And then number three, love for our fellow men, soldiers that were dying alongside them. They did this because of their commanding officers. They said, you know what, we're going to serve faithfully. We submit to them. We trust them. We're going to keep going. One of those generals was Omar Bradley. And one of the things that happened, many men died, shed that blood. And this Memorial Day, I want to remind you, they were willing to do that for their commanding officers and for their fellow men and for the Lord. We as Christians have one commanding general. And all the orders he gives us, we must follow if we're truly loyal to him. See, there's motivation behind serving your commanding general the way he deserves to be served. If these men did it for men of the world, how much more should we not give our lives completely? I'm not saying part-time. I'm saying completely in to serve the one who saved us on the cross at Calvary. Our commanding general, our Jesus, our Lord of hosts, deserves for all of us to understand that. We're supposed to be good soldiers. And good soldiers always follow their commanding officers' orders, even if it leads to death, like these men. The reason we have the country we have is because these men responded to the call in battle. What have we gone through for Christ compared to these men? And the reason we have our freedom to be able to preach to you, to be able to congregate and pray together, is because of blood that was shed for our country. Don't ever forget that. This Memorial Day, as you're flipping your steaks, as you're going through things with your family, understand how valuable that blood was, so that we could continue living in religious freedom like we do now. And then remember, as a Christian and as a good soldier, please the one who recruited you, the one who saved you at the cross, and continue to serve him wholeheartedly. Sacrifice your life as a living sacrifice for the honor and glory of God. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, and we'll close with this. Christianity goes deep. And this Memorial Day, remember the greatest Memorial Day, when Jesus Christ gave his life for you. and surrendered it fully so you could be saved and delivered from hell and sin. He says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Right? So we give our lives to the Lord. We're in active military battle. And then we remember we have brothers and sisters that need our prayers, they need our support, especially when they're going through difficulty. And then we please the one who recruited us by being obedient. That means we sever from the world, we live our lives the way we're supposed to for the glory of God, and that we realize we're in battle. And that we should be always ready to respond as a good soldier, to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So Christian, where are you at in your walk? Are you a good soldier or a bad soldier? And if there's changes that need to be made, you have to understand, you need to submit fully to your commanding general. What he says in this word, we submit fully for the honor and glory of our Christ. And then work on one thing at a time. We're not perfect, remember. And as soldiers, we're in training, and God is training us day in and day out. And with every trial he gives us, he's maturing us, making us stronger and stronger, so we understand we're at the post where he put us. And that we're not abandoning our post ever. From here on out, we understand the battle belongs to the Lord, but I've got to be a foot soldier who's ready to press forward and endure hardship for his honor and glory. Amen.